If we don't take action, the collapse of our civilizations and the extinction of much of the natural world is on the horizon.
The topic that we're here to talk about tonight is really big, and it's really scary, and it's really sad, and it's really depressing, and there are just no two ways about it. And it's so big and so scary that often we don't want to think about it.
Something changed for me when I heard the scientific facts behind the climate crisis for the first time. We've been pumping so much CO2 into the air that we're actually getting into new territory. We're heating up the Earth at an unprecedented rate. And two, we're destroying its ecology. We're losing biodiversity at an alarming rate. We're actually in the sixth mass extinction of our planet.
We are inevitably sending our children to live on an unfamiliar planet.
If you're going to take a stand with your business and get in this movement, you're not going to be 100% perfect straight out the gate. But the important thing is that you see your impact, because seeing your impact enables you to address your impact.
So as storytellers, as writers, as videographers, as designers, as CEOs, as MDs, we have the ability to inspire people and to change behavior.
We cast our mind into the future, the very new future, defined by these incredibly rapid changing events around us. And what kind of future do we want to shape? Do we want to be part of the status quo that's created this mess? Or do we want to be part of something different and new?
Do you want to be a leader that you look back in time and say that you were on the wrong side of the argument when the world was crying out for a solution?
Yeah.
And it's as simple as that, I think.
For many years now, global leaders have been raising their voice to demand action on the climate emergency. And many of the speakers that you saw in this video are marketeers and brand activists and strategists, just like many of you in the room here today. And they were speaking at the Creatives for Climate Summit that we put on at the Humble Brag 2 weeks ago at Patagonia. And then immediately after this event, more than 20 agencies in Amsterdam joined us to declare a climate emergency and commit to action. And in the wider world right now, so much is happening. 6 million people took to the streets to take part in the global climate strikes on September 20th. And this week, there are thousands of people in more than 60 countries across the world engaging in acts of civil disobedience, willingly being arrested, to demand that governments declare a climate emergency and act accordingly. We are truly living in unprecedented times, and the landscape around us is quite literally changing. And there is clearly great demand for change. But the question now is how? So what we want to discuss today in this panel is what this new landscape means as we continue to build our businesses, our brands, our careers, and also our lives. And so I'm sitting here today with leaders who are all at the forefront of change within agencies and brands, who each draw on different experiences and possibly perspectives, but who each have a really strong point of view on how and why brands need to embrace change. So I have Marijn Averwaerts, who is the founder of Dopper, the reusable water bottle, whose life mission is to reduce plastic waste. In 2009, Marijn watched a documentary on plastic soup, and today he celebrates the 10th anniversary of his business and his brand. Emma Foster-Gehring is a sustainability expert who drives change within brands from within. She works with their supply chains. And I met Emma, I'm also a big fan, a few years ago when she was working at Primark as environmental sustainability manager. And today she's joining us as head of sustainability at shoe brand Vivo Barefoot. (Clears throat) And speaking to us from an agency perspective, we have Morten Saxnes, who is head of social media and brand activation at Danish creative agency Anko, who has worked on many impactful purpose-driven campaigns and brands, and who is clued up on all the latest marketing and branding insights. He intimately understands how to make audiences take action. So welcome, everybody. And let's get started on our first question. Marijn, I'm going to start with you. How can brands take a stand on the climate crisis?
I think the most important is impact over profit, and then positive impact. And that sounds like a broad thing, but it's actually quite easy to do. You just tear down the whole supply chain or whatever your clients or partners are, and every chain and every part of it should make impact, positive impact.
Okay.
Yeah.
The solution to our panel. Emma, do you have another response to that question? How can brands take a stand on the climate crisis?
Yeah, so I think the short answer to that question is that how can you not? How can you exist right now and not take a stand on it? I think one question that I've been trying to answer for Vivo Barefoot for the last week, while so much has been going on around the world, is how can we align with something that is much bigger than the word climate, right? You know, this is about environmental protection, it's about plant and animal species, it's about having a future. There's so much that's wrapped up in that simple statement. And even though we might not necessarily be doing it in the same way as Extinction Rebellion, we're still part of the same fight. And so how can you not be aligned to it?
Morten. Oh,
good answers. I mean, from a brand perspective, I think we've sort of just gotten it all wrong for so many years. I mean, we just completely lost contact with the consumers, especially the young ones who are really concerned about environment. So there's just a massive disconnect there. And I think it boils down to we've just been too, I mean, short-focused. Focused on the now, focused on short-term revenue, instead of like looking into the future. I mean, if you want a business within 20 years, I mean, we need a sustainable world to live in. And brands have completely lost contact there. So I think it's about time that we roll back and focus less about short-term goals and focus on like the bigger impact, and environment is of course a huge thing there.
So how sustainable can a brand really be? Do you think there is a business model for new kinds of relationships that aren't based on exponential growth? Will we see a deprioritization of growth? I'll let you, whoever wants to jump in.
It's funny, I was just cheering that we are celebrating our 10th anniversary, but actually I wouldn't even want to start with Dopper, because initially I want to get the plastic water bottles out of this world. There is a replacement for it, but it's also a replacement. So I hope with the less sales of Dopper, we can make an impact. And I think that's how you could stand up as a brand as well, because then you're moving everybody towards more impact instead of more sales, but making better for the planet.
And so in terms of your business model, is the goal then just to keep your business the same size, growth the same?
No, there is growth, but on the other hand, that's why I'm a little bit double in celebrating that we are still there. Mm. Is this how we make impact? Is this the way to move forward? I think if we all look on the impact side, we're not going for the money and we're not going for growth. So it will balance out, I don't know how, but with all of us here in the room, in a new way of doing business and not as we do now.
Well, I think it's about time that brands sort of gain a new perspective on consumerism in general. I mean, the old saying that we just need to consume more and we need that exponential growth. I mean, I think it's about to we need to wake up now and figure out how to make that change. And I mean, and that's about the commitment to at the end our shareholders. I mean, that we're not supposed to drive exponential growth, and we're slowly seeing a turn there. But once this is nailed down in sort of the ingrainment of the corporate culture, we won't be able to change. But I see things are happening now slowly. And once we get away from the notion of like the massive consumerism we've seen in the past many years to a new, more modern way of looking at it, I think we're in a better position. So I think that's the first step, but we need to get there.
I think that this is probably the one thing that I, as an individual, kind of don't totally agree with Extinction Rebellion on, because their book is insanely anti-establishment.
And systems there are, change.
Yeah, so they're, you know, there are very various degrees of the anti-establishment of people in that movement. And I think that if you took away the capitalist consumerist society tomorrow, we wouldn't, you know, we'd arguably be in a worse position because we have to be able to grow and expand and move and resource the kind of rehabilitation of the world. So I think that business is the solution to that, and that's why I personally have attached myself within the insides of all of these terrible companies my whole life. You know, I've worked from Chevron to Primark to Burberry and come out the other end, and I'm in a new phase where I'm attaching myself to organizations like Vivo Barefoot that totally believe in the connection between nature and people, and that bringing a love for the planet, and therefore we can drive business as a solution to get ourselves out of it and to create a better tomorrow.
Interesting.
I do ask myself if that's really the way to move forward, because if we keep on doing business, I think even the bigger brands which are now polluting the world, I have a question: if we turn around the system not enough, then nothing will happen. So I prefer to sit all in nature, maybe, and start there, and then see how we make the world better, instead of saying, okay, Shell, you can still drill for oil, but you're also working on solar panels.
Don't get me wrong, I was trying to do the same thing, just in a slightly...
I have a question that touches on this.
Sorry.
So in August, nearly 200 business leaders at the Business Roundtable, so a group that represents the CEOs of America's most powerful companies, said that the purpose of business was no longer solely to deliver profit to shareholders, but to deliver value to all stakeholders. So you're a B Corporation, right? And B Corporation have already been leading in this purpose-driven space. There is certification for brands to really take charge. My question is, if we all diverted our consumer power and bought only B Corporations, would we solve the world's problems?
Yeah, but all those companies who are in there, most of it started from the point of making impact instead of they were something big. Now I'm really proud of Mr. Paul Polman from Unilever that he's taking on brands which are very sustainable, like Ben & Jerry's was already named here, which is very good. So there wouldn't be a vegan ice cream, I think, from Magnum if Ben & Jerry's wasn't on board. So it is an inspiration, but still Magnum still wants to produce as much as possible.
I guess what I'm getting at is, what are the limits of our consumer power, building on Emma's point, to really solve these major problems and address, do we need to maybe also put pressure on governments or policy, or like, is it just up to business, basically?
Well, there's no like one solution to this, but I think that like the general power comes still from the legislative power right now. We need to change government, we need to change the rules and legislation around, I mean, environment, and we're just lagging so far behind of what, I mean, us as citizens are thinking right now. And that change is not coming, as I can see, in the near future. So one thing is whether we take on the streets and we put on our flags and we maybe change our behavior a little bit, but I still think that governments are lacking so far behind. But if we need the real change, we need governments to come first, and then I'm sure that brands will feel the pressure and need to change instead of just making small changes.
Patagonia recently released a campaign facing extinction with a whole lot of human beings' faces and actively encouraged people to go out and get into the streets and protest. Do you see other examples of brands being risky in this space?
Are really putting their values? I can speak on behalf of Vivo because we've just gone through this. So we have put stuff on our Instagram, on all our social media platforms about joining the groups out in the streets this week in London. We've been trying to align ourselves with the rebellion, even though they haven't really wanted us to be there, to be honest with you. And we've been getting a whole lot of brand hate online. I've been up till well past midnight every single night for the last 4 days, fending off really intense feedback on Instagram saying, I'm no longer going to buy from Vivo Barefoot. This is left-wing, you know, fascist regime. And it's been really hard because, I mean, we all want to have a future, right?
Like, are these people commenting your consumers?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you are losing?
Yeah, 100%. Okay. Yeah, no doubt about it. Yeah.
So what's the takeaway?
I mean, the truth of the matter is we're going to stay true to what we believe in. And we believe in nature, and we believe in the health of planet, and we believe in restoring the planet, and so therefore we're with them. And if these people don't want to be with us, then they're not part of that community, and that's a loss we're going to have to take.
But but I think you're in a good position here, but I still see a lot of brands that support the cause but doesn't reflect it on the inside, right? We just saw some cases here as well. And I think we need to listen to the people on the street and find out, like, what are they addressing? And we need to reflect that in our organization as well. And again, that structure is still just lacking behind. It's not just in marketing or in product development. It's every factor of being a business. You must know that, of course, because that's just ingrained in your culture. Yep. But people are lacking behind. And I think it's about time that we look at the people taking on the streets and reflecting that, not just in our communication and just our product, but in so many levels, or else we can't make this genuine change. And
can I challenge that slightly?
Sure.
That's why you're on the panel.
I'm Australian. It's my job. So I think you're right in many ways, but I want to use an example of where that doesn't always work out well. We have an overwhelming vegan community at the moment asking for vegan shoes. Now, in the footwear industry, the vegan alternatives right now are either really super not durable and just fall apart, or they're made of nasty chemicals, or they're plastic, right? And I worked for a long time in the fossil fuel industry, and that industry is the single biggest destroyer of animal and plant life. And so I don't understand how you can say that a plastic alternative is vegan. End of story.
Yep.
Can't understand it. Doesn't make any sense to me. And so we're getting this overwhelming feedback saying we want more vegan shoes, and trust me, we're working on it. But for us, the vegan has to be a plant alternative, or, you know, a much better option that's biodegradable, doesn't use nasty chemicals, isn't contributing to the fossil fuel industry. But we don't have the space online right now to have that conversation. We're planning to do that, but there isn't a solution. I don't know how we're going to try and conquer this wave of veganism that's coming at us right now.
That's definitely a challenge, but the first step is to listen and accept it, and not just go full in from day one, but slowly ingrain it. I mean, if you want to change your culture, you need to start to listen and then change, because you can't just make the dramatic change, even though it's needed, in one day. For some companies, it's easier than others.
Yeah. Totally.
Yep.
We got the vegan point across.
Yeah.
So let's talk about a new economy. What kinds of businesses and relationships with brands can we expect in the next 5 years, 10 years, 15 years? How do you think that this will be changing?
Ooh. I have no clue, to be honest. I think it's an open space at the moment, and that's also very, really nice. So it gives the opportunity for everything, a lot of things to pop up. But where it goes, I don't know. But I do have the feeling, with all this power in the world, that we are moving forward in a positive way. So that's my only feeling, what I can say. But if the big companies are changing or will disappear, I would love to make a big island of plastic water bottles, discarded, and put all the CEOs there, and then let us do the rest.
All the CEOs there.
From the big companies, yeah, please.
Okay, so I have another question for you on that. Paul Polman, who you already referenced, the ex-CEO at Unilever, said in a recent article in The Guardian, "We need bold and brave business leaders to tackle inequality and climate change." So what do you think the role of the modern CEO is?
Yeah, I put Paul Polman a little bit on the stage, but it's a quite tiny little stage because it's still about shareholders and still about producing as much as possible, but in another way. So I think we have to produce less, and we want to have less profits. So that would be the bold move for the CEOs.
Wow, it's quite a radical idea.
And sit on this island somewhere in the sun, far away from us.
Awesome.
If possible.
I think I'm going to have a slightly different answer to this one again.
Okay.
Very good.
No, I mean, that it's all part of the solution, is just different points of attack, I think. My answer to that is that we need to follow more holacracy. So
Holacracy.
Okay. Just decentralized governance. Doesn't get spoken about enough.
You have a company that has that model, right?
Yeah, it's awesome. Totally flipped around. So for me, it's already second nature, but please.
I'll use a personal example. When I was approached by the CEO of Vivo Barefoot, who's a legacy of the Clark's shoe dynasty, he totally disagreed with what they were doing and went out and started his own organization to take on restoration of the world. When I was approached by him, I said to him, I should never be a sustainability professional that's hired by one organization. I don't believe in it. I stand for building an army of insurgent brands that are here to take back the planet and to restore nature. So I should never ever be just speaking one narrative or locked to one brand. So even though I get paid by Vivo, and because I'm Australian and I need a visa to live in the UK, I actually work with many other different brands and many other different organizations, and I come here today speaking what I want to speak. And that's, you know, true to what he believes in as well, but he allows me to be free within that. And I mean, name one other company in the UK that's doing that right now.
Actually, I read that on your bio that you partner with Vivo, therefore, and we're the same age, but I thought to myself, such a millennial. We're such, like...
Totally.
But also, I'm not a bit for too long, right?
But also, I'm not a consultant, so I don't get given a brief from a company that says, make us more sustainable by doing X. I just get to work with who I want to work with that believes in what I believe in and what everyone else believes in.
Hey, Morten, you're working on multiple brands at any one time. Could you give us an insight into some of the conversations you're having? Because I know, for example, later today, there's a panel with the European Parliament, which is a campaign that you worked on. So how are you shifting?
No, I think one of the big issues is that we still have a lot of legacy brands out there that still need to change, but find it extremely difficult to do that without ending in the bucket of woke washing, green washing, pink washing, and whatnot. And that's a massive issue to challenge right now, because they still want to engage the consumers in doing small changes, but they're afraid if they just communicate like a small changes in being more green environmental and it's making progress, they're still afraid to communicate it in order to be bashed by people out there saying, well, you're still not doing it 100% because we always have the Patagonia out here. And that's one of the biggest fears for them, is when do they have legitimacy enough to say something. You must face that all the time as well.
Totally.
So when can you say something without being bashed? So helping brands navigate that space right now where they want to do good without getting the backlash. I think that's a massive issue right now.
I think to the keynote before, it's about commitment, right? And I think also internal values and company culture. So Yvonne, the founder of Patagonia, said a principle is not a principle until it costs you something. What are you willing to stand for, and what are you willing to lose? Morten.
It's fairly easy because we're still based in the old structure, right? So if you don't generate shareholder value, I mean, you're not a success. And most companies are not willing to sacrifice that. A lot of people, companies are willing to go green and have a more greener structure if they can see the profit going into the future.
Yeah.
It's just so damn hard to find that calculator that can ensure you that growth by changing to a more sustainable way of doing business. So I think it's basically down to courage to sort of just see within yourself. And still, again, I see a lot of new business leaders popping out there where they have the courage and they're young and they're like, okay, if I need a position within the next 20 years, it's not just about shareholder growth, it's about me and my family and being able to survive. And I think that has a tremendous effect on being a business leader today. It's not just when you wake up in the morning and look yourself in the mirror. I mean, you do have a perspective on the future now. It's not just growth. And that changes you when you come to work and helps you giving that gut feeling that you can drive change. And we're slowly seeing that. That's positive.
So my last question...
Sorry, can I answer that one as well?
Of course you can.
Sorry, again. Lucy. I know I'm not stand-in panel material.
I'll invite you back.
I was just going to say, I mean, in my opinion, I think that the time to go greener is gone. Like, it's far gone. We cannot just have a sustainability department or start thinking about being greener in certain areas. It just is absolutely gone. If your business doesn't stand for regenerating the planet right now, you're obsolete. End of story. That's my opinion. And so I think that, you know, if you use, again, another example, the last business I come from, they were owned by a huge global conglomerate that run a whole bunch of brands. So Primark, British Sugar, Dorset Riveter, Selfridges, Fortnum Mason, all part of this huge group. The people who sat on the board, all men, in the big business, would basically write what they call the Red Book, which is the kind of code that all the CEOs had to abide by. There was absolutely nothing in that Red Book about sustainability, nothing about the planet, nothing about people, apart from, here's the Corporations Act, abide by it, and also make money, heaps of money, please. And that was all it was. And so, you know, when I chose to leave that company, because I truly didn't think I could do anything else there again, I wrote a letter to the CEO and said, like, this fundamentally has to change. Until you change this, your business is at risk. people will find out. The world is watching now. Everyone's watching. You can't get away with this stuff anymore. 100%. It's going to come out.
We joke sometimes to change the term sustainability just to survival, just to drum the message on. So last question. If business as usual continues, if people think that this was a nice panel, but they don't really take any of these messages home and drive change, are you worried about our future?
I am at the moment worried about our future, and when we leave the room and not learn anything about it. I really think everybody stayed in the room, is in the room, and is present part of the change. And it starts with the tiny little things in your own environment, and this is what you take home to your company, whatever company you are. Is it a huge corporate which is polluting, or something which is already sustainable? And even within sustainability or in making impact, every step what you take, you can make a change. So go out and make a change.
Awesome.
100%. Yeah. I have been since I was a small kid and grew up in the beaches in Australia and saw huge mining companies polluting everything about the planet. I couldn't understand it. Every single day I wake up and go to bed with the same thoughts in my head. I've just turned 30 and got married, and I've got 10 years left to decide really to have a kid, to bring a life into this world, and what world would that be? So yeah, every single second of every day.
Yeah, I agree. I'm worried shitless. I have a 2-year-old son, and I mean, at some point I have to address him, and he's gonna ask me the question, what did you do to make a change? And I've been working in advertising and driving consumerism for many years. So I think it's also a thing like putting the mirror up in front of yourself and be able to face what you did in the past and now make real change.
Yeah. So during this panel, Emma mentioned Extinction Rebellion. And so this week, there are thousands of people being incredibly disruptive. Do you think that a sense of urgency, a sense of disruption, a sense of rebellion is needed to drive the change fast enough?
I think it happens on all levels, and some do it by striking in the middle of the road, and other people do it within their business.
Yeah.
So I don't also see a strike as a strike. It's part of the whole movement.
Totally. I have one more person send me a message on LinkedIn that says that I quit my job because the company wasn't doing good for the world, can I please have a job in sustainability? I'm going to scream. Yeah. Stay where you are. Stay where you are and shake the tree. Like, ask the hard questions. Be part of the change inside the bad bits, or take them down. You don't have to go out in the street. Just do it where you are.
Yeah.
No, just leave it at that. That's spot on.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for joining. That was really great. Yeah.
Pleasure.
Thanks.
Thanks.